Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's that time of the week again where we shift our focus to China. Now, China recently announced that they'll be providing 500,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccine for Nepal. But in an interesting twist of events, Nepali media published leaked documents revealing that China made Nepal accept their Sinovac vaccine. Now, how true are these allegations? And you know, is China set to do a U-turn? Could they change their mind in providing vaccines for Nepal? That's something we're watching. Stocks in Asia Pacific mixed in yesterday morning trade. Investors monitored shares of China's tech giants following the release of China's new anti-monopoly guidelines. Now, what does this new set of guidelines entail? And have tech giants in China reacted to it yet? Also, it looks like foreign companies are looking at moving their production out of China. In an online survey that was conducted in December by Japanese staffing firm Persona Group, 57% of Japanese companies in Vietnam and 55% in India said they would expand operations in the host countries and move out of China. Should China be worried? Let's find out more from Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning to all of you. I'm coping in Kuala Lumpur, in fact.
Yeah, I know. It's a very different mood leading up to Chinese New Year. Usually it's always so vibrant, people traveling back to their hometowns and whatnot.
Yeah, it's becoming difficult nowadays.
Hang in there. We really feel for you guys, man. Let's try and get to these issues, Dr. Oh. Starting off with Nepali media, they published leaked documents revealing that China made Nepal accept its Sinovac vaccine produced by Sinopharm without any further delay, warning that if it does not take it now, then you have to wait longer. Why are all these leaked documents coming out now? How true is it? Has it been verified? And has China reacted, you know, in terms of whether this would cause some kind of a damage between China's relationship with Nepal? Could we see a U-turn? What are you monitoring, Doctor?
Well, I think the Nepalese authorities have more or less confirmed this leaked document, but the China side has not responded to it yet. But practically speaking, I think the so-called forcing of the hands, of the Nepalese hands by the Chinese side, I think is rather understandable, because nowadays these sort of vaccines, whether it's produced by China, the United States or even India, they are very much in demand around the world. And China wanted or promised to give Nepal about 500,000 doses of this vaccine. Okay. And the Nepalese side, of course, they want to verify and they want to test and so on. So from the Chinese perspective, if you don't take it now, I'm going to ship it elsewhere, as well as the leaked document said. So I think, well, it is understandable, but of course, you know, because it's a diplomatic correspondence, you leak it as such, it's just not so nice. Yeah,
fair enough. The leaked documents, of course, that'll hurt the relationship in some sense. But if you think about it, it's like bakwa, right? You don't mind now, no more already.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
If you think about it, let's talk about this other issue, okay? So according to Reuters, China's State Administration for Market Regulation, over the weekend, they released these new anti-monopoly guidelines. So what that could do is put pressure on leading internet services in the country like Taobao from Alibaba or Tencent's WeChat Pay. Dr. Oh, what does this new anti-monopoly guidelines entail? How can it affect China's leading internet services company in the long run?
Well, it entails, as its name suggests, anti-monopoly regulations. For example, it would prohibit this sort of platforms which you mentioned from demanding exclusive dealing with a certain merchant. You can only sell on my platform and not my competitor's platform. It would, in a sense, regulate what the authorities would consider price fixing, you know, like the artificially raising the price and so on, or predatory pricing practices and so on. So, of course, this sort of platform, they will have to apply or at least, you know, pay lip service to complying with these regulations. But I think finally, China is realizing, number one, if it doesn't really clamp down some of the larger platforms, then perhaps consumers' rights may not be adequately protected.
Yeah, but have we seen any reaction from these companies yet?
Well, because the regulations came out barely hours ago, I think less than 20 hours ago. So no reaction yet. But I think the reaction will be very perfunctory, saying we will comply with all these regulations and so on.
Yeah. Right, that's what you're expecting. Okay, fair enough. The other issue that we've been monitoring is how over half of Japanese businesses in Vietnam and India have plans to expand their in-country operations, this at least according to a recent survey. So it's like a shift, you know, reducing the reliance on China as a production base. You know, previously it was, it's known as like a China plus one strategy, if you get what I mean. So now that you've got these firms saying they want to come out, they want to be less reliant on them, should China be worried? Are we likely to see them come up with any new policies to entice these companies to stay on?
Well, I think China is ambivalent on this. From the perspectives of these foreign investors, the Japanese, the Europeans, the Americans, and so on, they would like to move some of the operations out of China for at least, let's say, two or three reasons. Number one is, of course, the tariffs imposed by the previous Trump administration in the U.S. Number two is also the wages in China actually are getting quite high nowadays, certainly higher than, let's say, in Malaysia, right? And number three, let us not forget, India and Vietnam, these are big markets. India is over a billion population.
Yes, yes.
Vietnam also 100 million and so on. So you also want to produce locally in order to serve your local markets there. These are not small markets. From a Chinese perspective, of course, on the one hand, they would like to retain many of these big-time foreign investors, right, the manufacturers and so on. But on the other hand, China would also like to develop its sort of indigenous or domestic manufacturing sector to eventually and gradually replace these foreign manufacturers. So I think for China, it's a mixed blessing, but they will have to, of course, rev up their own production capacity and so on. Yeah.
Finally, Dr. Oh, it's quite an interesting story, this one. This company's lenders have been pushing for bankruptcy. The company's chairman and co-founder have also been quietly stripped of power. You're talking about nearly $10 billion of its money has been embezzled. And I'm talking about H&A Group, the vast Chinese conglomerate that threw tens of billions of dollars at trophy businesses around the world. It looks like it's nearing the biggest corporate collapse in recent Chinese history. I mean, just looking at this as a case study, what are some of the lessons that China might have learned from this?
Well, number one, I think this is part and parcel of the major financial and commercial sectors cleanup undertaken by China, which include like what we discussed just now, the anti-monopoly regulations and so on.
Yes.
Because I think there are increasingly popular outcries as to how, for example, some of the interests of the shareholders or even of the consumers are not being adequately protected or well-regulated.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chinese authorities, just like the American authorities, let's say half a century ago, they are responding to these outcries and try to sort of rein in some of the more freewheeling business conglomerates and so on. And the Hainan Air Group was indeed such a company with spending spree around the world and so on with scant regards to its bottom line. So they want to rein in some of these more freewheeling companies. Yeah.
All right. I've been speaking with Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, I know it's tough in KL, but please, you know, hang in there, take care, and stay safe.
Thank you very much indeed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.